I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. This year's Oregon Bach Festival opens June 25th and runs through July 12th with events in Eugene and Portland. Its wide range of musical offerings will include the new Berwick Academy for Historical Performance, which will debut on Saturday, June 27th, as Matthew Halls conducts three of Beethoven's greatest works in Bell Hall. Matthew Halls is here with me in the KLCC studio to preview this year's festival. Nice to see you again, Matthew.
Great to be back, Eric.
Do you feel settled in now as your role in your role as artistic director?
That's a good question. Do I feel settled in? I always feel very at home in Eugene. Most of my life is spent pretty much in transit. I'm on the road an awful lot, and I'm going to different cities each week. So there is already a sense of coming home when I come to Eugene. It's familiar to me, lots of friends here now, and always discovering new and exciting places. So I think to the extent that I feel more Eugenian than I did when I first came here in 2011, yeah, for sure.
It's a very large, honored, and difficult task to replace someone as legendary as Helmut Rehling. In terms of bringing your own style to this festival, what's been essential for you in making this your own now?
As I've said quite often when asked questions about how you cope with that idea of succession and what does a new artistic director do, I've always answered this way, which is to say that you just be yourself. And I don't have to do anything particularly before people notice that I'm bringing new things to the festival, just because my interests are different. And there are things that I want to explore here that perhaps Helmut didn't. So it's not as if I'm consciously wanting to reinvent the wheel. It's simply that I have my own interests and I bring that to the programming and to the new educational programs that are developing. And it's change without trying, if you like. But whilst, and this is very important to me, whilst preserving all that was good for so long about this festival is a curatorial role as well.
I think the Berwick Academy for Historical Performance fits that vision exactly, but give a little bit more detail as to what your vision is for that.
Well, my vision for the Berwick Academy is there are a few things here. And I think, first of all, it's important to say that for a long time, that style of performance didn't have a strong center stage focus in the Oregon Bach Festival. So it was important for me, coming more from that background as a young musician, to start to integrate historical performance a little bit more into our programming and to allow people to hear music in different ways. The familiar, but revisited in a way. So the sounds that we're exploring are different. And that whole aspect of educating, I suppose, our audiences to begin to hear and see new things. The older instruments, the gut string rather than the metal string, the calf skins on the timpani, the strange and wonderful natural brass instruments. All these things that make this music sound very, very different to what we've heard in the past. It was important to me that I begin to introduce that to the festival. But it was also very obvious to me when I took the job back in 2011 that we have many educational programs catering for all sorts of musicians. We didn't at that stage have anything resembling an orchestral academy, and I really felt that it was a top priority to try and introduce an orchestral academy to the festival. I had no idea at that stage that so soon into my tenure, that the extraordinary generosity of two great supporters of the festival was going to enable that to happen much sooner than we envisaged originally. And it's from those discussions and from those ambitions about the future of a first-rate orchestral academy that the Berwick Academy has been born and has grown.
As a conductor, do you approach the music differently when it's an academy of students as opposed to a different form of professional orchestra?
I don't think so, actually, in essence. But I think also it's worth pointing out that I don't see the musicians coming to be members of the Berwick Academy as students. They are colleagues and they are young professionals, and it's very important not to confuse them in any way with a youth orchestra. This is an opportunity for musicians who are at that crossroads in their careers. They are just maybe finishing conservatoire, the graduate study, or they are just beginning to establish something resembling a freelance career, but it's in the very early stages. This is to bridge that sometimes terrifying gap between study and working as a professional musician. That's why we set up the Berwick Academy. So I see them less as students, more as colleagues and young professionals. Whether I'm going to work any differently with them, it's an interesting question. I don't have a huge amount of experience of working with youth orchestras, so I haven't tested that one, but I imagine that the answer is no.
Overall, in this year's festival, what are some of the themes that will be presented?
Well, the underlying theme really is from creation to resurrection. Creation is a very important theme, given that we are launching new things. Also that we are launching this year's summer festival with Haydn's great masterpiece, The Creation. But then, of course, at the other end of the spectrum, we are closing the festival with resurrection and Mahler's great apocalyptic vision and the idea that you burst through death into a new life, into the afterlife, and that it is through death that we live again. So it's from birth to rebirth, if you like. And that was my concept for this year's festival. And between those two poles, we explore everything in between. We examine the rites of passage. We look at all sorts of challenges and elements of the human experience during the festival. So it's a broad theme. And it comes, of course, under the general heading of inspiration and being inspired. We want people to feel that we are an accessible festival, that it is not important that people know anything about this music before coming to experience it. It's simply enough to come to the Holt Center or Bell Hall or wherever we happen to be performing and to sit back and let the music wash over yourself. And that is, I think, one of the very important messages of the festival this year, that it is classical music is not something exclusive. It's something which is incredibly powerful and simply demands your presence there.
One of the more unusual performers to be included in this year's festival is Storm Large, a vocalist known to many for her work with Pink Martini, as well as her incredibly eclectic solo work. What makes her an appropriate choice to be a part of this festival?
Her versatility. And we always like to include concerts in our festival programming that sort of break the mold a little bit. I've always referred to them when questioned about these concerts as wild cards. It's the things that we want to add to our underlying thematic program, which bolster the broad sweep of the festival program, which allow our audiences a refresher, a palate cleanser, if you like. It's an opportunity to hear high-level music making that just takes us in a slightly different direction. Last year, a similar concert took place with the Eugene Ballet, and this was a wonderful pushing of frontiers on many levels and something that we hadn't explored very much in the festival. And it's only in a festival environment that we can actually take risks like that and put on things that wouldn't normally appear in a Bach festival, let's say. So Storm is coming into town. It feels very good to say that. And she is presenting for us Kurt Weill's great satirical masterpiece, Seven Deadly Sins. I can't think of a better marriage between a solo vocalist and that particular piece.
On another end of the spectrum, you have a conductor coming here from Japan, Masaki Suzuki, who will be giving the Hinkle Distinguished Lecture and talking about his lifelong devotion to Bach's work. Talk about what he'll bring to this festival.
Well, it's we're all very, very much looking forward to the arrival of Maestro Suzuki. Since a very young age, he has been one of my superheroes in the music world. And it's a great honor to be able to extend an invitation to Masaki to come to Eugene this summer and to share his vast knowledge, experience, and love for the music of Bach with us. And I have no doubt that he will shed new light on the composer's music. Anybody familiar with his work over the past several decades will know that he is one of a very exclusive club of conductors. It really is a very small group of people. Helmut, of course, is also a member who has worked tirelessly to record pretty much every note that Bach ever wrote. And certainly I have listened with increasing fascination and admiration to Masaki's cycle of cantata recordings that have been emerging over the years. He's now completed that project, and one hears an incredible spiritual depth and a wonderful, as close as performances can get, in my opinion, to sort of musical perfection. The level of musicianship and skill on those recordings is absolutely extraordinary. And I cannot wait to experience his music making, both with the Berwick Academy. Of course, he conducts them in a concert of Bach. But also in his work with the choirs and orchestras of the Oregon Bach Festival, and he'll perform a very interesting program of Haydn, the Lord Nelson Mass, and Stravinsky, who's a composer who hasn't cropped up on our schedule for some time now.
Among the rest of the festival highlights, are there any ones that you particularly want to bring to light here?
Well, we have so much going on, Eric. It's really difficult. You can pick and choose and hopefully just trust us that whatever you happen to be free to go and see, you're going to really enjoy it. We've really worked very hard to try and bring the artists to Eugene that audiences are going to enjoy. I would say, you know, Paul Jacobs is in town again, and this is the second year of the Organ Institute. This is a very important new initiative for us, and Paul is, of course, an absolute first-rate international organist, and we are very lucky to have him come and share his knowledge and love for organ music with us for the second year running. There's also this middle weekend program, which I think is a very, very interesting program. We call it the Three Bs. It's Bach, Bruckner, and Brahms. And it's not quite like Mahler Resurrection or Haydn Creation. It's not ready-made and packaged in one nicely wrapped portion. It's a combination of three pieces that sit very, very interestingly together. Perhaps some listeners will know that Brahms's Great Fourth Symphony took as its inspiration for the finale the Cantata 150 of Bach, Nach dir Herr. And it's very rare that a conductor has the opportunity to put both works in the same program because they involve such different forces. Brahms's symphony requires a large symphony orchestra. Bach's early cantata, it actually requires only a small number of musicians. So it's only really in a place like OBF that I can program like that, and I can hopefully open the ears of the audience to this incredible connection between a well-loved piece of Brahms, his great symphonic masterpiece, the final symphony he wrote, and this possibly very, very earliest cantata of Bach. Some people think it was the first cantata that he wrote. And of course, Brahms was a great librarian. He was very interested in music of the past, particularly the music of Bach. And so really wonderful to go to a concert and be able to hear those two pieces side by side, interspersed with another great juggernaut from the choral orchestral repertoire, Bruckner's magnificent Te Deum, using the vast forces of the SFYCA. And pretty much every singer in the building that we can get our hands on for that. So it should be a very spectacular evening.
Well, thanks for all that you bring into the Oregon Bach Festival, and thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you.
Matthew Halls, Artistic Director of the Oregon Bach Festival. This year's festival runs from Thursday, June 25th through Sunday, July 12th, after KLCC's annual kickoff broadcast on the evening of Wednesday, June 24th, with members of the Berwick Academy in live performance in KLCC's Selco Performance Hall at 6:30 p.m. For a complete schedule of concerts and events, see OregonBachFestival.com. For an extended version of this interview, visit KLCC.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.